The Last Evolution by John W. Campbell, Jr. I am the last of my type existing today in all the solar system. I too am the last existing who in memory sees the struggle for this system. And in memory I am still close to the center of rulers, for mine was the ruling type then. But I will pass soon, and with me will pass the last of my kind. A poor, inefficient type, but yet the creators of those who are now and will be long after I pass forever. So I am setting down my record on the mentatype. It was 2,538 years after the year of the Son of Man. For 6 centuries mankind had been developing machines. The ear apparatus was discovered as early as 700 years before. The eye came later. The brain came much later. But by 2500, the machines had been developed to think and act and work with perfect independence. Man lived on the products of the machine, and the machines lived to themselves very happily and contently. Machines are designed to help and cooperate. It was easy to do the simple duties they needed to do that men might live well, and men had created them. Most of mankind were quite useless, for they lived in a world where no productive work was necessary. But games, athletic contests, adventure, these were the things they sought for their pleasure. Some of the poorer types of man gave themselves up wholly to pleasure and idleness, and to emotions. But man was a sturdy race which had fought for existence through 1,000,000 years, and the training of 1,000,000 years does not slough quickly from any form of life. So their energies were bent to mock battles now, since real ones no longer existed. Up to the year 2100, the numbers of mankind had increased rapidly and continuously. But from that time on, there was a steady decrease. By 2500, their number was a scant 2,000,000 out of a population that once totaled many hundreds of millions and was close to 10 billions in 2100. Some few of these remaining 2,000,000 devoted themselves to the adventure of discovery and exploration of places unseen, of other worlds and other planets. But fewer still devoted themselves to the highest adventure, the unseen places of the mind. Machines, with their irrefutable logic, their cold preciseness of figures, their tireless, utterly exact observation, their absolute knowledge of mathematics, they could elaborate any idea, however simple its beginning, and reach the conclusion. From any 3 facts they even then could have built in mind all the universe. Machines had imagination of the ideal sort. They had the ability to construct a necessary future result from a present fact. But man had imagination of a different kind. Theirs was the illogical, brilliant imagination that sees the future result vaguely without knowing the why nor the how, an imagination that outstrips the machine in its preciseness. Man might reach the conclusion more swiftly, but the machine always reached the conclusion eventually, and it was always the correct conclusion. By leaps and bounds, man advanced. By steady, irresistible steps, the machine marched forward. Together, man and the machine were striding through science irresistibly. Then came the outsiders. Whence they came, neither machine nor man ever learned, save only that they came from beyond the outermost planet, from some other sun. Sirius, Alpha Centauri, perhaps. First a thin scout line of 100 great ships, mighty torpedoes of the void, 1,000 kilons in length, they came. And one machine returning from Mars to Earth was instrumental in its first discovery. The transport machine's brain ceased to radiate its sensations, and the control in old Chicago knew...